WDADX, Whiskey Delta 8, Delta X-Ray Mobile, 14714. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Jeff. What's the plan for a hump day, ACADG? Coming to you via Petoskey.
Well, my current plan is to drive to Petoskey. How's that? I got a job in Petoskey I've got to do this morning. Should take a good part of the day and then drive back to Traverse. Then I actually punch out a little early today, and I've got... we got to go do our taxes today, so it's tax day for us.
Sounds like tax day, and then, hey, reward yourself by taking you and the XYL out for dinner or something. Sounds like an idea.
I'm afraid that we're going to get our taxes done. We're going to have to go and, how do you want to put it? We'll end up paying the government something, I have a feeling, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, this year I got to pay a little bit. I did what they call IRA Roth conversions. I paid the money, took the money out of my IRA and put it into a Roth IRA. Yeah, I don't know. It means I got to pay all the taxes this year. Oh, well.
They don't allow you to pay those taxes when you actually do the conversion, or is it meant to be that way?
Well, that's kind of what you do, but you don't have to pay when you do the conversion. Well, I don't know. I got to pay it by April 15th, whatever.
Sorry about that. I'm trying to reboot my computer. My computer's not coming out. It's just giving me the black screen of death, so I don't know what's going on.
Oh, I figured you were logging in, so I was just kind of standing by here. It's the ATG.
Pulled off side of the road, popped the batteries out of the tablet, and left them out for just a second, slapped them back in, and now it appears to be booting up. It said GTAC on the front, so we're in, there we go. We're headed the right direction now. Just needed a good kick in the pants.
I had the same problem with my cell phone, except you can't remove the battery. So I had to go online and find out all the different magic buttons to do a hard reboot or hard whatever they call it.
Understood. Yeah, they don't make it easy to pop batteries out anymore. You can do it, but it's, you're 3 hours in knee-deep and 1,500 little screws and five panels and... and then at that point you wonder if you ever get it back together.
I tried that once a couple of years ago, and it's got all these ribbon cables, and they're glued down with conductive adhesive. Boy, I'm never going to do that again.
Yep, it's definitely not a fun process anymore, so... they used to make it so you could service things, and they're purposely trying to not to service things. It's a sad situation, You would think that they would want longevity, but it's getting to the point now where they want you to spend that big bucks on a phone, and the phone only lasts a couple of years, two, 3 years. Okay, now you can get another one. Now you get another phone. There's part of me that really wonders if some of these updates that they do, if they don't actually include things to drain your battery faster.
I think you're right, but sir, you're getting into the valley, so I'm going to sign with you on this one. Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf. Listen for you on the other repeaters.
Sounds good. 73 WDADX.
K8RRD Mobile Monitoring.
Kilo Bravo 7, Oscar Lima Delta. Good afternoon. monitoring. KB7 OLD monitoring. Anybody out enjoying the weather? KB7 OLD.
KF8DAM, can I get a radio check?
I have you loud and clear. Full quieting into the repeat meter. KB7 OLD.
Thank you very much. I just out in my sugar shack boiling down some syrup, and first time I've tried my handheld down here, so I didn't wasn't positive it would work.
Yeah, it's coming in perfectly clear. So you're enjoying the weather, right?
Yeah, it's finally starting to warm up. It was a little cold, and all my bags are froze full of sap right now, so I can't get much out of there, but I got another 120 gallons in storage here right now that I'm boiling on. So, yeah, we're going to enjoy the weather the next few days.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be warming up until I think the weekend we're going to get another cool down, but that's about it. Where's your shack at?
Oh, about 3 miles south of Petoskey.
I take it the sap is running pretty good now?
Yeah, it's it hasn't just barely starting for today. It's just now getting warm enough, but it flowed real good. Not yesterday, Monday, I guess it was. It flowed real good.
Well, good for you. Name is Ted. Tango Echo Delta.
And you got Dennis over here on this side.
Okay, Dennis, well, I'm at my stop, so you have a great day and enjoy the weather and hope you have good collection.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
KB7OLD clear.
KF8DAM, we're monitoring.
Good evening, everyone. This is Mike, Kilo Delta 8 Romeo Echo Hotel, and welcome to the Wednesday evening Skywarn, Northern Michigan Skywarn Severe Weather Network training net. Again, this is Mike, KV8REH, I'll be net control for this net. And this net will meet the first Wednesday of every month from March, except for March, through October on the Northern Michigan Link Repeater Network, or any of the local repeaters that are tied into the Northern Michigan Link Repeater Network. Now, the purpose of this net is to provide training for those that are new to Skywarn and to go over procedures, and if we do have any activations to go over any activations for what we could have done better or anything new for the future. At this time, I'll stand by for any stations with the emergency or priority traffic. Okay, none heard. We're going to go ahead and take check-ins at this time. If we could please have the station checking in give their call sign and name, and then once you are recognized by net control, we will then move on to the next check-in. That will help with doubles and to further ensure that the net control station has the correct call sign and name given for the net. First station wishing to check in, please do so at this time.
Echo 8 Sierra Bravo Zulu, Tony.
Tony, I got you in there. Next station.
Glenn, KSGZ.
Go
W8REJ, Rob.
Okay, Glenn, I got you in there. And, Rob, you're a little quick to the mic there. 1 second. W8REJ, got you in there. Next station. Any other stations wishing to check in?
KB8SEJ, Bob.
Okay, Bob, got you in there. Next station.
Alpha Charlie 8, Delta Golf, Jim.
All right, Jim, got you in there. Next station.
Foxtrot 8, Alpha Golf, Yankee, Kevin.
All right, Kevin, got you in there. Next station.
And WX1J, Scott.
All right, Scott, got you in there. Next station. I felt like there was a station trying. Go ahead and try again.
Sorry, Mike, that is Kevin. I was just switching antennas here to get a better signal. So, sorry about that.
Oh, you are all good, Kevin. Not a problem. Next station. Sounds like we have somebody on Echo Link or on one of the links there. Station, go ahead and try again. Okay. We'll come back for more check-ins here in a bit. For those that have never participated in one of our Skywarn nets, I think there may be only one or two here. Typically, we do these nets from the start of your weather season through the end. The end, we kind of conclude with anything for the upcoming cold months, blizzards, snowfall recording, stuff like that. For the severe weather months, however, we cover 25 counties in the National Weather Service Gaylord area. So basically, everything from Manistee over to Alcona County, and then two up in the UP. I believe it's Mackinac and Chippewa counties we cover there. And basically what we try to do is a large area net. Unlike other Skywarn groups that have localized nets per the counties, up here we do not have the populace to support that. So what we try to do is make one big net that covers the entire area. That way we can get everybody covered and provide the best data for the Weather Service. All right. So again, we've basically, like I said, covered 25 counties in the county warning area, which again covers Chippewa, Mackinac, and UP. For the Link Repeater Network, anytime there is a severe thunderstorm warning or the imminent threat of severe weather, we will link the repeaters up to, again, provide that area. That's all done through the Northern Michigan Link Repeater Network in cooperation with other area ICOM groups. For those that are familiar, we do have four conditions, one of them being the standby condition, which is there is no net active at the time. We're just kind of standing by until there is a need to place a net into one of the three other conditions, green, yellow, or red. The first condition we have is green. It's basically going to be that Skywarn operations will commence. Net control will begin taking general check-ins from the spotters, just like we did this evening. Call sign, name. However, we will take your exact location where you are so we can plot that. We're going to try to use Zello a little bit more this year, either be it the free version or a more commercial version of Zello. That way we can track you. Unfortunately, APRS doesn't track those that do not have access to amateur radio. We are trying to get more GMRS and regular non-hams involved in Skywarn as well. So with that being said, again, we'll take check-ins, get your location. If there is no active weather being currently observed, just check in, say, I see nothing at this time. And then we will periodically check back to do about every 10 to 15 minutes as the storm progresses. And if there is a point to stand down the net, we will announce so. And if you have to check out for any reason, please just let net control know. that you're leaving. That way, when something does happen, we can just check back and say, hey, you know, they did leave, that we're not wondering if something happened to you. And then if things do progress, and we go from a watch to a warning, be it a severe thunderstorm warning, we will go to condition yellow. Condition yellow is a severe weather threat has been identified either by a spotter observation or radar indication by the National Weather Service. An active directed net is then initiated at that time. So before, again, it was more of a general check-in, and at that point we will conduct a closed active net and begin getting reports from the people that are in the affected areas. Or if someone's mobile going to that area, we will try to focus on them a little bit more so we can get the more direct reports from that that station. And the whole time we are in constant communication with the National Weather Service, either by phone, our access to NWS chat, or the MTS 900 MHz radios that a few of us carry. And then at that point, all spotters are to check in with net control and report if there is an assigned location, if we ask, or if you want to go to an assigned location, you can. Otherwise, just wherever your QTH or wherever you happen to be at that point in time. Net control will then, again, periodically check with that station that is in the area or close to it. Try to get observations from them. If you have any type of handheld equipment, anemometer, anything like that, it's great to have true weather readings, wind speeds. You're not just looking at the tree saying, oh yeah, they're moving. Measuring hail, half inch, quarter inch, three quarter inch, you know, things like that is perfect. They just don't want people guessing. If there is a need to upgrade to a condition red, that is when we go into either seeing a tornado, or what we used to do is if we had a severe thunderstorm warning at that point, I think we're going to try to kick that back more to condition red being a tornado warning. Again, that is basically when everything kind of hits the fan. Non-essential net traffic will be postponed. The net will solicit reports from warned areas only that are within the affected area or in the path of the tornado at that point. Should a warned area cover a large area, such as a severe thunderstorm warning, the net control will identify areas most critical and direct traffic from those areas. So let's say we had Benzie County under a tornado warning, but they knew exactly where that tornado was going to go. So let's say if it was going through Neson City, we would try to get a station from that area to get an observation on it. If you get somebody, you know, 15 miles away that says they think they see something, it's hard to tell direction and size and what damage may be occurring from that. So somebody close to the area without getting yourself into any physical danger would be perfect, because then we can get eyes on the ground for the Weather Service. All right, I guess with the end of the activation guidelines there, we're going to stand by for any stations with questions or comments or any new check-ins. Okay, so that brings us to our Skywarn net protocols. Who is going to run a net, who is authorized to run a net, and what you might hear during or before a net. For the stations that are going to activate a net, there's about six to seven of us, Kevin. I'm hoping we can get him a little more involved this year in maybe partaking in a couple nets and being a assistant coordinator. Basically, what net controls will do during the whole event of the storm, there's a handful of us that beforehand are watching it. Obviously, we know what's coming. The Weather Service is sometimes actually issuing spotter indications may be required. So we kind of have a game plan ahead of time. Net control will then announce on the link repeater network that a net is either going to commence or we're going to go into standby mode, and kind of warn everybody that as the storm progresses, are exactly what fire departments used to use, and some of the members actually have pagers that will activate, and or radios that are capable will activate and alert you that a net is starting. Try to here. I don't know if I have enough signal, but I'm going to demonstrate what those tones currently sound like. This is KD8REA, Connect Control. Stand by. All right, that's our main activation tone. That will go off right before we start a net. And then if we do end up going into a condition red or a yellow, we will do a long tone, 1050 hertz, similar to what the National Weather Service radios activate on. Once those go off, then we announce that we're in a directed net. That net controller will then take the appropriate measures to conduct a net as such. All right, well, we've gone over that. I guess we'll kind of go over the basics of what we are looking from a net control standpoint. Again, give your call sign phonetically if you could. That way we catch every bit of it, your name, location. If you give a cross street, you know you're at 1st and 2nd Street. You don't have to give an address, just, you know, an approximate location. Once we start using Zello, we can actually get GPS location off you. That way we have a good location for where you are. And if something does happen, at least Zello has a an SOS button. You can hit that. And then again, we know where you're at from the GPS location. But from there, you will be logged into the net. If you have a report, we'll go over what exactly we're looking for at that point in time. Actually, we'll go over that here in a little bit. And then once you give your report to net control, just stand by unless otherwise directed so at that point. Try to keep the chatter down. And then if we do go into a directed net, obviously it'll be net control asking for stations. But if you do have any questions or comments before that, please just feel free to ask them away. And if at any point in time there is a need for an emergency report to be given, either you see a funnel cloud or severe damage to a structure, somebody hurt, you have no way to report it, say priority traffic, call net control, say priority traffic. At that point, everything will stop. Net control will acknowledge that station and get whatever information is needed. Again, we do have the capabilities to get a hold of most 911 county or 911 centers around through the 800 megahertz radio, so that is an option. And again, during the Gaylord tornado, the only thing that worked were radios at that point. The phones were all down, so radio was the only way to go. Okay, so we kind of covered your call sign location. And use the tell method, the time, event, location. When did it happen, what happened, and where did it happen? Try to avoid any long, drawn-out reports that will kind of tie up in that short, sweet to the point, and then we can get that logged in and sent off right away. The quicker we can do that, the quicker the National Weather Service updates their warnings so they can warn more people in an affected area a lot quicker. And of course, they cannot see below a certain level with the radar, so the more ground observations they have, the better. And again, try to remain on the net if you have to leave for whatever reason. Break in and say, net control, this is such and such, I'm leaving the net, please check me out. And then from then on, we don't have to worry about, you know, if something happened, we know you're checked out of the net, and we can move on to another station. And again, just yield to any priority traffic. If you have something that's just, you know, a small hail report or maybe a small branch down, a report's a report, but you know, try to remain open for any higher priority traffic that may be needed. Okay, I guess we'll stand by for any questions or comments before we move on to our next module. Okay, nothing heard. Do we have any other stations that are wishing to check in at this time?
W8REJ has a net here, and I will be signing off with.
W8REJ.
All right, Rob. Thanks for checking in this evening. All right. Any other questions or comments at this time?
WX1J with a question.
Last thing I have is any other trainings that we would require from somebody if they would like to participate. We don't mandate a training, however, it is highly encouraged that you take one of the numerous National Weather Service Skywarn trainings that they do. Those are coming up pretty soon here. Next week there's actually one up in Emmett County. I'm trying to get the dates here, if you could stand by. And then once you take those, there is no certificate that's given. About every 2 years, it's encouraged that you go and attend one of those trainings. Things do change, so it is nice to kind of know if anything changes in any, especially with the severe weather side, if a changes or size of hail. I don't see that for changing anytime soon, but throw little things in there like that. Like they'll change a severe thunderstorm warning from, let's say, half-inch hail to three-quarter-inch hail or something like that. So it's always nice to go and attend them, and it only takes about an hour out of your life to do that. All right, so it looks like 19th, there's going to be one in Emmett County at 6 p.m., April 1st in Antrim County. April 2nd, Montmorency County. There'll be one April 8th in Misaukee, one April 10th in Benzie County, 16th in Presque Isle, Grand Traverse County, the 22nd of Sheboygan on the 28th, and Otsego on the 29th. So it doesn't look like they have a whole ton this year that are spread all over the place, but if you cannot attend one of those, there is a really nice rule of the Skywarn Spotter. That is on the National Weather Service Gaylord's website under trainings. It's through Comet Training. You can take that, and then there's also a couple other ones that they have on there. Another good one is the Skywarn Spotter Convective Basics. It's all online. And I do believe you get a certificate with that as well. So that's another one you can take if you can't attend one of the in-person trainings. Now, is there a station in there?
Yes, KE8SBZ here. Could you go back over the dates of those classes that you're talking about? And secondly, I believe Scott had a question for you.
Yeah, absolutely. There will be a link to this in the next cherry juice as well. Emmett County's is March 19th. The one in Antrim County is April 1st. Montmorency County is April 2nd. Let's see here. Misaukee County, April 8th. Benzie County, April 10th. Presque Isle, April 16th. Grand Traverse County, the 22nd of April, Chippewa County on the 24th of April, Sheboygan on the 28th of April, and Otsego on the 29th. And, Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, just a quick question. Zello, if you do have a Zello network working, and there's maybe more than one person using Zello, how would you plan to have that work? Would the net control station also be net control on a Zello network, or would you have a like a Zello hub reporting into a specific individual and then relay into the net? How would that work?
Okay, good question, Scott. There, I totally forgot to go over that. So there will be a second station monitoring Zello. A backup net controller at that point will then act as a net control station for Zello. It wouldn't be a net just like that's on the repeater. It would be not more informal, but we would get information from there, either be it through stations that are GMRS or just the general public that want to partake in Skywarn. Then that will get relayed to the net control station, who will then report that. So whoever's doing the reporting will then get the net and send it out. So Typically, whoever is doing net control will also have access to Zello so they can kind of keep an eye on what's going on. And also, if it's not too hectic, we have a spreadsheet, a Google Doc that we can update, and that actually gets sent right to the National Weather Service, and it's updated live, so they see what's going on, which is kind of nice. If we have pictures, video, anything like that, we can upload it to that Google document, and they can see it as it's really happening. But yes, for your question, Scott Grisello, it will be basically two separate nets with two separate people doing the net.
Yes, so thanks a lot. WXJ.
All right. We're almost done. Do we have any other stations with questions, comments, or a late check-in?
KMADGY.
Yeah, Kevin, I got you. It sounded like there was another station. Another station, just go ahead real quick. Okay, nothing heard. Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, I just had a question. I know that a year ago when I took the online training, I had printed out a T-barge manual for Skywarn standard net operating procedures or standard operating procedures, something like that. I believe that's still up on T-barge. Is that still valid, or is there a new version coming out? Back to you.
No, this will be a district-wide net operations protocol that we're going to put out. The plan is to have one complete protocol across the board. That way we're not having four or five other protocols out there. If we do one, we stick with it. Basically, every other Skywarn group that I've ever run across does the exact same thing, and it works great. So I think the plan is to update the one on the site here with the one that we have currently and just make it all one protocol across the board.
Okay, so there's going to be an update to the existing procedures to use inside district procedures so we're in line with everybody else. Is that correct?
That is correct. My plan is to have that out next week. I've got to do just a couple more tweaks to it there, and then once that's done, we'll go ahead and get that out to everybody. And I believe we can also put that out. Well, it might be a little too late for the cherry juice, but we can get that out on social media, too. That way everybody's got a copy of it.
Okay, roger that, Mike. KF8AGY, back to net control.
Okay. Any other stations with questions or comments? All right. I really don't have anything else at this time. We are going to do a just a quick 30-35 minute demo at the next Cherryland general meeting at the end of the month. I'm actually going to have some cool stuff there. I've got a portable weather pack that we're going to try to deploy a little bit this year and get some ground data from any of the sphere storms that come through. So that's going to be a nice little cool little toy that we can mess with this year, and then go over just another basic net operation and kind of a how-to. So other than that, if there's no other questions or comments, we're going to go ahead and conclude the net, and I'll stand by one more time.
KF8AGY with one more question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so in my Skywarn kit, I have a Kestrel handheld weather station. It's got an anemometer, wind chill, temperature, all that stuff, and of course the compass to see which direction things are coming from. Is that going to be sufficient enough to provide additional ground data from my location?
Yeah, good question. That's actually kind of what, we've been pushing people to get, are the Kestrel handheld devices. Or if you have a really nice outside weather station that has accurate direction and speed, that's another thing we look for, too, is a really good home weather station. If you have something that that you can carry with you and you just stop on the side of the road and then you can get your good direction and speed, that's awesome. That way we're not having to judge, you know, oh, the trees are kind of moving a little bit from the north. in a storm, obviously, the winds will change direction, but yes, a good little handheld anemometer like that would be perfect.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Back to you.
And on the next net, too, we're going to go over things that you can get, any little tools or instrumentation that is pretty cheap. You can find, actually, some of it you can find around town or just basically off Amazon. I'll get some links and kind of the preferred piece of instrumentation that we're looking for. So other than that, we're going to go ahead and conclude for this month. We will meet again the first Wednesday in April. That's going to be weather storm documentation and instrumentation. That's what we're going to go over. So we'll conclude the net. Thank all stations that checked in for this evening. And return the repeaters back to general amateur use. This is KREH, and I'll be clear.
And then Kilby.